in the year 1952, the town of Olinda in Victoria hosted Australia's first ever film festival. Showcasing international films from Europe and Asia, it was so popular that the town ran out of accommodation for its visitors. And 70 years later, it has grown into what is now the Melbourne International Film Festival, one of the oldest festivals of cinema in the world. And here to explain the huge success and impact of the Olinda Film Festival on Australian film culture is Professor Lisa French. She's the Dean of the School of Media and Communications at RMIT University, and she joins me now. Lisa French, thanks so much for joining me here on 2SER.
Morning, Steph.
Morning. Now, tell me about the Melbourne International Film Festival. Tell us about these origins. How did it start?
Well, in 1952, the Federation of Film Societies decided to host a big festival. They thought they were going to get 60 people and they planned for it. They were very ambitious, and suddenly 600 people turned up, and that meant the town of Olinda was like bursting at the seams. People came from everywhere, and it was so popular and people so much wanted to be there that some people travelled back and forward to Melbourne overnight just to come back the next day. And it was incredibly vibrant. They had to get other halls in other towns such as Sassafras, and one of the organisers, as soon as the reel finished, he grabbed it from the projector, jumped in his car and rushed down to the Sassafras hall and whacked on the next reel. So they were like, it was really amazing. And they also had to put screens up in the trees and go out and under the stars, and they hadn't expected it to be that successful, but they were ambitious. They invited, you know, UNESCO and the BFI and a lot of really important filmmakers. In Australian filmmakers came and were really impressed with the whole event. And that event in 1952 became the Melbourne International Film Festival. First it was the Melbourne Film Festival, and then the Melbourne International Film Festival a bit later. And it was also the same people who founded the Australian Film Institute. So it was a groundswell of people who just really loved films. And the only way that they could get the films and get past censors and government officials was to have a festival. So really it was driven by a passion to want to see films that they couldn't get any other way.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, there must have been, I guess, like you mentioned, all these different components working together. The expectation is about 80 people would show up, and then it turns into, you know, this insanely successful event. 600 people driving back and forth, moving between venues and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the culture of film in Australia at the time. I mean, the 1950s, it's obviously a different time to now. Perhaps we take our film, you know, being able to go to the cinema and things like that a bit for granted now. But what was it like during the 50s?
Well, films were big in the 1950s, but not necessarily Australian films. We didn't have much of an industry. We were making kind of one a year. And mostly the films that we got were Hollywood films. So if you really wanted to see amazing, French films or films from other cultures, it was really hard to get them. So that was sort of part of the motivation behind this. But I know my own mother attended this first Melbourne Film Festival, which is what got me interested in it. And yeah, she said she had to sleep in a church hall wrapped in a flag because there was nowhere else to sleep. And, you know, she was only 20 at the time, and it was probably fine for her then.
Sounds like a ball, to be honest, in your 20s.
Yeah, no, it sounds fantastic. And they also had exhibitions of film stills, and they had all these lectures where people were talking about films, although quite a lot of the people who went said that the Australian films were pretty boring because they were kind of government documentaries about milk production and that kind of thing. But in the mix of that, they had, you know, Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast opened the festival, and they had Flattery's Louisiana Story. So they had big films from elsewhere, but the Australian ones, which started a film awards at that time. It was the Jubilee Film Awards, and the Prime Minister Menzies was invited but couldn't come and delegated it off to one of his ministers, who came and presented those awards for Australian film. And at that time they were talking about, oh, we really want to support Australian film, which at that time was mainly documentary, and there was the Shell Film Unit and quite a few organisations like that making documentary film, not so much narrative fiction. But of course it didn't come till much later, not until the Gordon government in 1969 started to put film funding into place, and that revived the industry in the 1970s. But it was the beginning, you know, like this is all the groundwork that people who love films just put in, really just to see it. So they spent a lot of time putting it all together and considering it. And then the next year there was a bit of a split, and one of the association supported a festival in Canberra which competed with the one in Victoria. And of course they thought, oh, it's so successful, they hired the exhibition buildings, but that time only 80 people came. So, you know, like you just can't really tell. Like if you run a film festival, and I've done that myself, I used to run the St Kilda Film Festival, and you never know like what whether people will come out or what will strike up their imagination. So I remember I had a little film. It was only a 5-minute film. It was about women's toilets under the Melbourne Town Hall. And it was about the culture there and how people would come down and have their lunch in there, and how the ladies that worked there. And it really inspired people's imagination. And I had a sold-out session at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, which you don't usually get. So you never know what is going to happen. And it's kind of, it must have gone viral in some way that happened in the 50s. I don't know what it was, since there was no social media, but somehow everybody, the word got out, and all the art crowd went. So my mother was part of, you know, that group. And so the painters like Arthur Boyd and filmmakers like Tim Burstall, they were in a car with their families all headed out to the hills. And, you know, it sounded like, you know, everybody had a great time, and it was a response to a real dearth of that sort of activity. And, of course, the film societies themselves were pretty vibrant, especially in the university. So it's something that happened out of a groundswell.
That's so fascinating. One quick one that I sort of just thought about, as you mentioned that, you know, these types of film festivals, this film festival was sort of one of the only opportunities people had to see foreign films. How did people even become sort of informed about foreign cinema? And, you know, were there any means of people accessing foreign film before this film festival? And obviously that must have led on to an impact in, you know, influencing people to seek out more foreign cinema after this festival started.
Yeah, well, there were film societies, of course, and a lot of those around much earlier. And of course, if you love the cinema, you read about it and you engage. Like screen culture is not just watching films, but it's reading about them, talking about them. A screen culture is really making them as well. And you know, it's quite important for a production industry to be able to see a variety of films, but quite often we didn't get them till much later. So, for example, surrealist films that were made in the 20s, I don't think they got to Australia till more like the 60s.
Wow.
And so you get an influence from the films coming in from elsewhere, kind of in a delayed way, you know, whereas we don't have a world like that. You can get everything all the time on demand, and in fact, I guess it's more difficult now because, you know, how do you navigate there being so much? But one thing that does that for you is a film festival, and so it puts it into kind of themes and special programs where you know, which is what MIFF Now, which will have its 70th birthday this year. does. You know, it'll do a kind of Asian program, or it'll do a special profile on a specific filmmaker. And you kind of you learn as you go, and you know that enriches the culture and the production culture as well.
Yeah, I mean, what a fantastic legacy for it to leave the Melbourne International Film Festival with its 70th anniversary this year. That's all we've got time for, unfortunately. Lisa French, thank you so much for joining me to talk about it here on 2SER this morning.
Thanks, Steph.
That was Dr. Lisa French, from the Dean of the School of Media and Communications at RMIT University, talking to us about the history of the Melbourne International Film Festival.